tonight to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we'd like to read the first 20 verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, or intellectually only. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep, or they have passed away. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, the apostles, so we preach, and so ye, the Corinthians, believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. And Paul begins this chapter by mentioning the gospel in verses 1 and 2. He then proceeds to remind us of some important facts relating to the gospel. He mentions three things: the death of Christ in verse 3, he mentions the burial of Christ in verse 4, and then the resurrection of Christ also in verse 4. These three facts, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, are the foundation of the gospel. Now, his death was a reality. It wasn't something that was imagined. His death was a reality, and the gospel writers go into detail to make sure that we understand that Christ literally died. Not only was his death a reality, his burial was a reality. And then, of course, his resurrection was a reality. Now, these three things are absolutely necessary for the gospel. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ are all realities. Therefore, the gospel is a reality. The gospel is not a fable. The gospel is real. It is a reality. So the resurrection of Christ validates the death and the burial of Christ. And the resurrection of Christ is not only a fact, it's a force. It's a powerful force in our life. And the Bible presents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ as established, undeniable, and irrefutable facts. The Bible doesn't present these things as a subject of debate. It just simply states the fact of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Now, after Paul stated these three facts, he then proceeded to offer some proof that Jesus Christ did indeed raise from the dead there in verses 5 through 8. And as you read on, you see that apparently there were some members of the Church of Corinth who doubted the truth, not so much of the resurrection of Christ, but they doubted the truth of the resurrection of the dead. He said in verse 12, "How say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Paul then presented the reasonable conclusion of that belief. That is, the reasonable conclusion of believing that the dead do not rise. And the reasonable conclusion is found there in verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And then, beginning with verse 14, Paul begins to paint a dismal picture of what life would be like had not Christ risen from the dead. So what he's saying here is, if you do not believe that the dead rise, then you must not believe that Christ rose. And if Christ did not rise, then you must believe these things that he presented in this dismal picture. Following that, Paul states in verse 20, and this is where we want to take our message from. He says, "But now," after he's presented this dismal picture, "but now," that is, as the matter actually is, or as the matter actually stands, "but now is Christ risen from the dead." We want to take our message from those words. "But now is Christ risen from the dead." That is an announcement of victory. And that will be our subject, an announcement of victory. We want to look at two things. We want to consider, first of all, the fact of the resurrection, and then the force of the resurrection. Now, the fact of the resurrection, of course, is a prominent theme throughout the Scriptures. The resurrection of Christ was predetermined. It was a pre-written event. It was not an afterthought, but it was a forethought with God. We see throughout the Old Testament that the resurrection was prophesied and the resurrection was typified. And we see also in the Old Testament, in addition to the Old Testament prophecies, in addition to the Old Testament types, Christ often spoke of his coming resurrection. He was usually misunderstood, but he often spoke of his coming resurrection. In Matthew 16, in verse 21, we see, "From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders." And though he showed that to the disciples over and over, as you get over to John 14 through 16, you see it's very obvious that the disciples still did not really understand about the death of Christ. Nor did they understand about his burial, nor did they understand about his resurrection. But he began to show in his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. We see also in John 21 in verse 9, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple," referring to his body. Now they misunderstood. They thought he was talking about the building of the temple. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." He reminded his apostles in Matthew 26, "But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So we see the resurrection was prophesied in the Old Testament. We see it was typified in the Old Testament. We see that Jesus Christ spoke of his resurrection. And then we see, of course, that the apostles in the early church often preached upon the subject of the resurrection. This is what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 24. We see he preached it again before the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, and he preached it again before the Gentiles. in Acts chapter 10. We see this is what Paul preached over and over and over again. We see Paul preaching the resurrection. We see that Paul preached the resurrection before Felix the governor. He preached it again before King Agrippa. He preached it to the churches at Ephesus and to the church of Philippi and to the church of Colossae. You see it all the way through the New Testament that the resurrection was preached. And then in Revelation chapter 1, you see John on the island of Patmos, and he records how he both saw and heard the risen Christ. So the fact of the resurrection is a very prominent theme throughout the Scriptures, because without it, there is no salvation. Without it, there is no gospel. So we see in these words of Paul, but now is Christ risen from the dead. He's stating there more than a fact, more than the fact of the resurrection. Paul did not simply say Jesus rose from the dead. That's true, he did. But Paul is saying much more than that. He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And that was the central thought of the angel's message inside the sepulcher. He is not here. He is risen. He is, present tense, risen, as he said. Now, what is stated by the angel in the tomb, he is risen. And what is stated by Paul in our text, but now is Christ risen from the dead, again, is something more than just stating the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Because the Bible records several instances where people rose from the dead. There were those in the Old Testament who rose from the dead. We read of the son of the widow of Zarephath. Her son was raised from the dead. We read of the son of the Shunammite woman there in Kings also. Her son was raised from the dead. We read of a man who was restored to life in 2 Kings 13 in verse 21. As he was being lowered down into the ground, he was restored to life. There was the widow, there was the son of the widow of Nain. There was the daughter of Jairus. There was Lazarus. We read of Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. All of these individuals arose from the dead. But every one of them died again. Every single one died again. Jesus Christ, we read, is now risen. That means much more than Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Now, the message of Jesus to John on the island of Patmos in Revelation 1 and verse 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. That's saying more than I rose from the dead. He's saying, I am risen. Just as Paul states here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20. So he lives, but he lives never to die again. All the other resurrections, they lived, they died, they rose again, and they died again. But Christ lives never to die again. He died once, he was buried once, and 3 days later, he came out of the tomb, triumphant, never, ever to die again. And therefore, I am secure. But now is Christ risen from the dead. We are 2,000 years removed from the resurrection. But the message has not changed one iota. The message still is, he is risen. He is risen. Present tense. He is risen. It's not that he has and now he's dead. He is risen. So the message has not changed. But notice here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 20, notice two words. Now is. Now is. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Now is. Now is the time of difficulties. Now is the time of trials. Now is the time of sorrows and afflictions. Now is the time of sickness. Now is the time of disease. Now is the time of adversities. Now is the time of strifes. Now is the time of battles. Now is the time of struggles and temptations. Now is. Now is also is a time when we are surrounded by filthiness and by defilement and by vileness and by wickedness and by ungodliness and that which is offensive and repulsive to God. Now is that time. Now is. Now is the time when we must contend with the workings of Satan. Now is the time that we have to deal with the wiles of the devil and his traps and his darts and his deceptions. Now is. But then notice what it says. Now is. Now is everything we've just mentioned. Now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, that changes everything. That changes everything. He who is infinite, he who is unlimited, he who is unsearchable, he who is immeasurable and incomprehensible lives. And just like he died for me, he was buried for me, he lives for me. And he sits at the right hand of God and he's coming back for me. Everything he does, everything he is, he now is. And he is for me. So that makes, again, me secure. He who has all power in heaven and earth, he who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, he now is risen from the dead. He who is omniscient, he who is the creator of the universe, he whom my eternal well-being depends upon, forever lives. Your eternal well-being, your eternity depends entirely upon Jesus Christ, who now is risen. If he's not now is risen, you have no hope. If all he did was rise from the dead, but he's not now is risen, you have no hope. But you see, but now, Christ, now is Christ risen. That is, he forever lives. Though all right now in the now is perishing, it's fading, and it's passing away, it's good to know, but now is Christ risen from the dead. That is an announcement of victory for every child of God. You see, it's not good enough that Christ died, that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again. He must still live. He must still live. He must forever live. If there is any chance of Jesus Christ dying, if there is any chance of that whatsoever, then there is a chance of you losing your salvation. And you have nothing to base your eternal security upon. But now is Christ risen from the dead. You see, that's where our confidence is this evening. This truth has a power about it. It has a force. Again, everything that the resurrection meant, the very day, the very moment that Christ arose, it means today. Everything it meant then 2,000 years ago, it means right now. Nothing's changed. When Jesus came out of that sepulcher that day, it was a testimony that the sin, that my sin debt had been paid in full. It was testimony that Christ alone could bear the full curse of my sin and rise victorious above it. And now Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And that is still testimony that my sin debt has been paid in full. How do I know that my sin debt has been paid in full? You say, well, because I repented. Oh, I'm sorry, but if that's what you're basing it upon, you don't have much. It's all based upon, but Christ is now risen. Christ now is risen. When Jesus Christ came out of the sepulcher, it was testimony that God the Father was fully satisfied with the offering of Christ. That's what it meant that day. And that Christ lives today, it still means that. It means that Jesus Christ offered himself an offering for my sin, offered himself a sacrifice for me, and God is satisfied. God is satisfied with that right now. At this very moment, God is satisfied. And that is the only one that you have to satisfy. That is the only one that needs to be satisfied is God. And he is satisfied. That means, notice in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? And then he gives several challenges or several reasons why no one can condemn the child of God. It is Christ that died. Because of the death of Christ, I can never, ever be condemned. You have to overturn the death of Christ in order to condemn the child of God. But he goes on. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Because Christ arose and because Christ is still risen, I cannot be condemned. Because he lives. And here's what he's doing as he lives. Who is even at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. When Jesus Christ came out of that sepulcher, it was testimony that no one can rise up and condemn the saved. And that Jesus Christ is risen today is testimony still that I cannot be condemned. I do not have a I hope so salvation. I have a I know so salvation because of who Jesus is and because of what Jesus has done. When Jesus Christ came out of the sepulcher, it was testimony that he was victorious over his enemies and over the enemies of all of God's people. When Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross, it appeared to the world that the world had conquered Christ. But that day when Jesus came forth from the sepulcher, he did so victorious over the world. And he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. When Jesus Christ was crucified, it appeared to the world that the devil had the victory. But Jesus Christ, when he came out of that sepulcher, he came out victorious over the devil. And Christ is still risen today. That means that the devil is a vanquished, a defeated foe for the child of God. He's already been defeated as far as the child of God is concerned. When Christ was crucified upon the cross, sin had done a work. But when Christ came out of that sepulcher, he came forth as the conqueror over sin. And Jesus Christ is still living. He is still risen. And because of that, there is a fountain where the vilest of sinners can find cleansing. Because he still lives. It's not just that he rose. He is risen. He now is risen. Right now, Jesus Christ is risen. When Christ was crucified upon the cross, many no doubt thought that death had conquered Jesus Christ. But he came out of that sepulcher. He came out victorious over death. All the others who were raised from the dead, they only had a temporary victory over death because every one of them died again. But Christ rose to live forever. He has completely conquered death. Death has been conquered. Jesus Christ entered into death's domain. And again, you and I don't know what transpired. For 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ was in death's domain. But I do know this. He conquered it. He conquered it. So that's why I say he was buried for me. He entered death's domain and he conquered it. And it does my heart good to walk away from a cemetery of a child of God knowing, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Because I know that today Jesus Christ is still risen from the dead, and that means that every child of God still has victory over death. Now for the child of God, death is merely the doorway from this land of sorrow to heaven, where every tear shall be wiped away and the saints of God will live forever in the glorious presence of Jesus Christ. All because Jesus Christ conquered death. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Death was conquered. And when our bodies, unless the Lord comes first, when our bodies are lowered into the ground, there's nothing to conquer. It's already been conquered. And Christ is still risen. Whatever he conquered then, still is conquered at this moment. The grave has been conquered. Just as a grave could not hold him beyond the appointed time, can't hold us either. The grave is not going to hold one single person. One single body, I should say. Beyond the appointed time. At the appointed time, they're coming forth. Completely victorious. But now is Christ risen from the dead. When Jesus Christ came from that sepulcher that day, it was testimony that he was everything he had declared himself to be. And now Paul tells us, but now is Christ risen. That means Jesus Christ and the now is still everything he's ever claimed to be. I'm glad for that. Sometimes the now is gets us down. Sometimes the now is gets us discouraged. But I'm glad to know that whatever the now is holds, Jesus Christ is everything he claimed to be. And everything he ever said is true. We see also that the resurrection of Christ changes life entirely. Verses 14 through 19, again, Paul paints a dismal picture of what life would be like if Jesus Christ had not risen. He goes on in those verses and he says that if there was no resurrection of Christ, if Jesus Christ is not alive right now, then the entire gospel is overthrown. If Jesus Christ is not living right this very second, there is no good news. There is no hope. There is no gospel. It's all a big waste of time. If Jesus Christ is not living right now, and that's why Paul says, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And because now is Christ risen from the dead, the gospel stands. That simply means there is good news. There is good news for sinners. There is a message of hope to the lost. There is a message of life. There is a message of victory. Why? Because Jesus Christ now is. Jesus Christ now is risen. And there is hope for the lost sinner. There now is forgiveness with God. There now is righteousness before God and justification before God and reconciliation with God and fellowship and access to God. All of those things exist right now because Jesus right now lives. If there is no resurrection, or if Jesus is not alive now, then Jesus himself is no better than the thousands of others who have gone before and claimed to be sent of God. If all Jesus did was rise from the dead and die again, he's no better than anybody else. He lives now. And that is so very important. You see, because if Christ does not live right now, our whole system of belief means nothing. I mean, it's worthless. If Jesus Christ is not living right now, it's all worthless. Everything we believe would then be false. Every hope that you and I have for our loved ones and for ourselves, it's all worthless if Jesus Christ is not alive right now. He says our faith is vain. If Jesus Christ is dead, if Jesus Christ is not alive right now, we're wasting our time being here because nothing's going to change. We're wasting our time serving him. We're wasting our time worshiping him if he's dead. But he's not. But now is Christ risen. Therefore, it's not a waste of time to serve him. It's not a waste of time to worship him. If there was no resurrection of Christ, or if Jesus is not alive now, there is no future to look forward to. You do away with the resurrection, and there is no heaven. It's all a myth. It's all a dream. There will be no gatherings on the other side. If Jesus Christ is not living right now, there will be none of those gatherings. You can talk about it all you want to, but if Jesus Christ is not alive right now, there will be no heavenly gathering. And there is no hope. And there is no future to anticipate. And we have lived our lives in vain. But Paul says, but now is. But now is Christ risen from the dead. So I ask you tonight, are you living your life not just like you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? Much of the lost world believes that Jesus rose from the dead, but it doesn't make any difference in their lives. Do we live our lives like we believe that he's living in the now is and living for us? Because if we do, that means that Jesus is more. He is more than just a story on the page of a book. I'm afraid tonight that that's all Jesus is to many. I'm afraid that there are some sitting here right now, that's all Jesus is. You've heard about him through Sunday school. You've heard about him all your adult life. And he's just a story on a page of a book. And if that's all Jesus is a story on a page of a book, you will die and go to hell. He's got to be real. But now is Christ risen from the dead. We do not serve a Christ upon a cross. We do not serve a Christ in the grave. We serve and we live for a living Savior. And our life ought to manifest such. A living Savior that's full of power. A living Savior that's full of love and full of sympathy. Does our life manifest that Jesus Christ lives now and that he lives in our hearts right now? He is my Savior. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my comfort. I have a risen Savior who will never leave me, who will never forsake me, who will never forget me. Does my life manifest such? You see, because he lives right now, not simply because there was a day that he arose, but because he lives right now, my salvation is sure. And I have eternal life. I may not even feel saved every single day. But my feeling doesn't change, but now is Christ risen from the dead. And you see, that's what I'm depending on. I'm not depending on my feelings. I'm depending upon Jesus Christ. And he now is risen. And because he lives, I have eternal life. Because he lives, I am justified before God. Because he lives, I am rich. I am richer, more rich than any lost man in this world. All because Jesus lives. Because he lives, I will never have to walk alone in this world. Because he lives. Because he lives, we can face all trials. We can face all tribulations of life. And because he lives, I have victory. I have victory in Jesus Christ. But now is Christ risen. This should be a powerful force in our life. As the angel said to the women, he said, "Fear not." And that same message goes to you and I. Jesus Christ lives right now. Therefore, fear not. In other words, stay calm. Jesus Christ lives. Have faith. Don't be troubled. Be courageous. Be confident. Why? Because Jesus lives. Then that angel went on to say, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay." You and I tonight are invited to come to see, to know, and experience that Jesus Christ is risen. I not only know that Jesus Christ arose from the dead, I know that he lives today, but even greater than that, I can experience that every single day. How often do we experience the resurrection of Christ? How often do we experience the fact that Jesus Christ lives right now? And then that angel told those women, he said, "Go quickly and tell." We have a risen Savior. And we need to go and we need to tell the unrighteous, the guilty, the ungodly and the rebellious, and filthy sinners, Jesus Christ lives. And because Jesus Christ lives, there is one and only one way to heaven. But thank God there is one way. Because if Jesus Christ did not live, there would be no way. But there is one way. There is one way. All these people today that get so upset because there's only way, they ought to thank God there is one way. That God in His grace has made a way. And that way is Christ. Go and tell. Go and tell lost sinners everywhere. We have a living Savior. Because my Savior lives, I hold out hope. I hold out hope for every one of my lost loved ones. I hold out hope because Jesus lives, because Christ lives. And I can hold out hope until they draw their last breath. And even then, I don't know. I don't know if they died lost, unless they're cursing God at their death. Unless they're manifesting that they are lost at their death, you don't know for sure that they are. And I believe God has given us that to protect us. Because we would go absolutely crazy if we had to think about that all the time. But you don't know. You don't know. That's God's business. But I do know this. If they're in heaven, they only got there one way. And that's Jesus Christ. And that's true of anybody who's in heaven. No one will get there outside of Jesus Christ. I believe that with all of my heart. There's only one way. I'm so glad today that He's alive right now. That He not only arose, but that He's living right now. And whatever I have to go through, Jesus Christ is living right now. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.